Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
It's coming from John 4, 7 to 26. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you say is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ, and when he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he."
Father, we thank you for your word this afternoon, Lord God. We thank you that you are the living water, Father God. And this afternoon we gather here this afternoon, Father God, to drink from your living water, Father God. So as we prepare our hearts this afternoon, Father, I pray for every person in here, Father God, as they hear your word speaking to their hearts, Father God, may you have your way. May you have your way in each and every one of us, in Jesus' mighty and wonderful name, and all the mighty saints say,
amen.
Awesome. Oh, g'day, everybody. How's it going? Hi, my name is Henry, and I'm one of the leaders here at Every Nation. Logan! I just want to say a very warm welcome to those that are with us, visiting with us this afternoon. Thank you for choosing to worship with us this afternoon. And so we pray that you would have a great time experiencing God this afternoon. Okay, so let's get started. Last week, Pastor Nelly kicked off our series of This Is Us. Everyone say, "This Is Us," about Christ-centeredness, right? And so the question that was posed to us was, who is the center of my life? Who is the center of my life? What is my life centered on? Hopefully that each of us that are sitting here this afternoon are already on that journey of Christ-centeredness, or we're on the journey of discovering what that could look like for each and every one of us. And so during this series, we will be talking about our vision and our values here in Every Nation Logan. And this is to help give you a better picture of the genetic makeup of this church. Because some of you that may be sitting out there today may be thinking, what is this church about? What are the things that are important to them? You know, why do they do what they do? You know, and these sorts of questions. So our hope is that over the next few weeks, as we're going through this series of This Is Us, that you will hear exactly what Every Nation Logan is about. Is that okay? Is that cool? This is us, okay? So today I'm going to be speaking about social responsibility and what it can look like in our community. So the title of my message today is, Give Me That Living Water. Everybody say, Give Me That Living Water. No, that is not a spelling mistake, okay? It's part of the language we're going to experience today, okay? So give me that living water. Now, some of you may have remembered, right, from last week that you heard, you may have heard the word social responsibility that was mentioned in our vision, right? Okay, so this is our vision. Every Nation Logan is a part of the Every Nation family of churches and ministries that exist to honor God by establishing Christ-centered, that's what Pastor Nelly spoke on last week, Spirit-empowered, socially responsible. This is what I'm going to be covering today. Churches and campus ministries in every nation. This is our vision. And so social responsibility is part of what we are called to do as an Every Nation church. So it forms part of one of our values in the church, and that value is outreach. Okay, and we count it a privilege to be able to take social responsibility to our campuses, to our communities, and our city and nation. So we aren't called to just find Christ ourselves and then keep him for ourselves, right? We're not called to do that, right? God has called us to go beyond ourselves, to tell others about Christ and what he has done and continuing to do in our lives, to share with those that don't know Christ yet the good news of the cross. You know, when you go to some of those fast food places and, you know, you order a burger or a chicken or a kebab, or if you're like me, you order all three. And one of the last things they say to you is that, you know, would you like chips with your order, right? Would you like chips with your order? Would you like fries with that if you're American? And this is one idea. This is one idea that I want to make clear right from the beginning. And it's this: social responsibility is not an extra side that we choose to purchase, okay? It's not the fries that you just add on if you want to. No, 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 no. It's part of the main deal. It's part of the main package. You can't separate it. It's not an optional extra for us, okay? It's what Christ did, and it's how he reached people. Jesus was socially responsible. Jesus showed us how to be socially responsible, right? Countless times. Through the scriptures, through the way that he lived his life. When we think scripturally about this, the mission of Jesus was made very clear in Luke 4:18-19. And this is the scene. Jesus is in the synagogue. He's in a temple. And as was his custom, and he's handed the scroll to read. And the scroll is from the prophet Isaiah. Specifically, it's Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 2. And this is what it says in Luke 4, verses 18 to 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This was Jesus reading about himself to all these onlookers in the synagogue that very day. And then I visualize it as like, you know, Jesus does this mic drop thing, right? Because once he says this, he sits down, and then he says these words: today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And all the people are like, what? Why? Let me explain. The scroll that Jesus was reading from was written some 700 years before that moment, before that time that Jesus entered the synagogue that day. It was already written that he would be there that very day to be given that scroll to read from it. He was reading about himself, and he was telling him, this is now fulfilled right here before you. Only God can orchestrate that sort of timing and precision. Only God. And then when we look at the actions of Christ, he does all these amazing things, all these things exactly, and then some. Proclaiming the good news to the poor. He's healing the sick. He's setting people free. You know, he's giving sight to the blind. He's doing all these things. All these things Jesus does. And he did Jesus dealt with both the spiritual and the physical needs of people. And that is what social responsibility is. It's dealing with both the spiritual and physical needs of people. You know, if we think about the story of the woman at the well that Ray beautifully read at the beginning, John 4. Jesus arrives in this town in Samaria called Sychar with his disciples. And they go off, his disciples have gone off to buy some food. And Jesus was resting there. Well, supposedly. But to me, it looked like he wasn't really resting. He was waiting for an opportunity. He was waiting for the opportunity from God. You know, even in our resting, I think we need to be ready as well, right? Even in our resting, we need to be ready. And so this Samaritan woman pulls up in the middle of the day, in the middle of the hot day. It was like a day like this. And she's coming to this well. She's coming to get some water for herself. And Jesus engages her in a conversation with a request. And he says to her, "Give me a drink." The fact that she has come to this well during this hottest time of the day to get water is really unusual. Because there's something wrong. There's something that's happening in this woman's life. Because most of the time, most women at this time of the, you know, during this period, they would come early in the morning when it was cool. And they would come in groups. Women wouldn't be walking around by themselves. But this particular woman has come by herself at a time when she was probably expecting no one else to be there. But Jesus was there. "Give me a drink." This is a physical request that Jesus is making from this woman. And her immediate response is real interesting. The woman, she's so worried about the cultural implications. She's so worried about the cultural tensions. Because she's a Samaritan and Jesus is a Jew. And at that time, Jews and Samaritans didn't mix. They did not get along. It's like Queensland and New South Wales. They don't get along. New South Wales. Let's put aside, okay? Yeah, that's right. I've got the mic. Okay, we are friends. Okay. But they didn't get on. Jews and Samaritans. These two cultures, they had history. And so she was much more concerned about that. And then Jesus flips it on her in verse 10. And he says this to her. "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." So Jesus puts the focus back on this woman. And it is the strategic change of words from Jesus that gets the woman's attention. Going from "give me a drink of water" to becoming "I can give you living water." So she becomes really interested now in the conversation that she asks, can I have some of this water? Because I don't want to keep coming here. And I don't want to thirst again. Give me that living water. A question for us. Are we aware of those moments when God is working in our favor by placing someone or something before us? Do we notice those moments unfolding before us? Where God is trying to get our attention, maybe through people, maybe through our children, maybe through our workplace, through circumstances in our workplace, maybe it's through something you read somewhere. But these moments, these clues, these slight changes are there for us to see if we are willing to engage in further conversation, whether we will sit up and pay attention. If we're willing to engage with what Jesus Christ is wanting to give us, if we're willing to drink of the living water that Christ is offering to us, do you see these moments in your life? If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Jesus' response to this woman is a bit like wow as well. Because she's like fully engaged in this conversation now. Because she says like, "Yes, please, give me that living water," right? And then Jesus says in verse 16, "Go call your husband and come here." Go call your husband and come here. You know, when I first read this, the question that I had in my head was, what does the husband have to do with this Jesus? She's asking for living water, man. Give her the living water. You see, Jesus doesn't think like us. Thank goodness. We need to start thinking like Jesus. It wasn't just about meeting her immediate need right there and then in that temporary moment. He was preparing her heart. He wants to prepare our hearts for something greater, for something more fulfilling, for eternity. Eternity begins in our hearts. And Jesus knew the condition of this woman's heart. In John 4, verses 17 to 18, the woman replies, I have no husband. I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you are right in saying, I have no husband, for you have had 5 husbands. Ouch. And the one that you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true. Jesus is saying, you have answered very truthfully. You have confessed the truth with your mouth. This afternoon, maybe this is the state where some of us are at right now, where we're not being true, where we're not being very truthful of our current state. And so we continue to hide behind our silent struggles, our hidden hurts, our agonizing emotions, our disappointed perceptions, because we have gone on so long in life thinking that I can do this, I can do this. But in actual fact, what we've been doing is just doing more damage to ourselves. And maybe it's not very evident externally. You know, maybe people look at you on the outside and think, oh, nah, he's smiling. He's got a nice smile. There's nothing wrong with him. Oh, he wears nice clothes. They got a nice house. He's got a good job. They must have it all together. But internally, inside your heart, we're ruined. We're broken. We're hurting. We're struggling inside. And we're wondering, man, why is it like this? Maybe this afternoon, God is knocking on your heart to be truthful with him. And that is a great place to be at. When we know, when we are aware, and we recognize that it is God that is knocking on our heart and is wanting to come in and transform our hearts. You're in a safe place. And I would encourage you, let him in. Let him come into your heart and begin the transformation. This is what social responsibility can look like. Being aware and awake to what is happening around us and in our community. And then journeying in close proximity with people. Having these tough and sometimes uncomfortable conversations along the way. So social responsibility is a way in which a person or an organization takes responsibility for the greater good of its organization. Let me give you an example. Anybody recognize this place? Yeah, it looks familiar. It's here. It's right here. It's the building over there. It's right here. The corner is right here. Okay, just for some of you that didn't see that. But yeah, PCYC. Does anyone know what PCYC stands for? Testing. Well, I just found out today that it stands for Police and Citizens Youth Clubs. Wow, yes. I just knew the letters. PCYC. But their vision is to build safer and healthier communities through youth development. So they provide a variety of services and programs to engage with the youth and the community. Now, there are other opportunities as well that where we can get amongst it in our community. I think of Silverbacks. Okay? Think of Silverbacks, and it's run by Ray over here and Siosi over there. Okay? They're our leaders for the Silverbacks. And it's a great environment to come along. If you like fitness, anyone like fitness? Oh, why are you scared to put up your hand? Just put your hand up, Al. Don't worry, man. We're not going to put you out. But yeah, fitness, you know, it's a great environment to come and train together. But also, it's a great place to meet people from our community because other families come along. And it's a great time, you know, kids this small and adults and that, just all you know, training together, laughing together. Yeah. So that's just one. You know, another one that we're doing is My Story 61. I think of My Story 61. And that's done by the lovely Lily over here, right? And so My Story 61 is about, you know, igniting and reviving and inspiring hope and positive change through their productions and programs. And so they use culture and creative arts to connect with people, right? We also have a young man here by the name of Joe. He's over in the other building serving in the youth, you know, encouraging your youth over there. But Joe also goes into the prisons on a weekly basis to run discipleship programs in the prisons there. This is a young, like 20-something-year-old guy speaking to grown men. Amazing. Amazing. These individuals, these organizations that are, you know, that are taking social responsibility to our community, man, that's what it's about. You know, maybe you can see yourself being part of some of these opportunities and connecting and engaging with people. Also within Every Nation Logan, right, we have life groups. Yes, we have life groups. Hey, but you just started last week. Yes, yeah, so we still have life groups. So right now, can I just, I just want to bring up all our life group leaders, okay? So we've got Ray, Mike, can you just come to the front just quickly? Stand up here. We've got Siosio, Eddie, come through. Yep, Charles and Helen. Okay, well, did I miss anyone, please? Anyone else who has life group? Oh, Steph, there was Steph as well, but she's serving out there. Okay, so I wanted to bring these guys up because these are the faces of your life group leaders, okay? And these guys, you know, it's not just about the Bible study. These guys build relationships in terms of, you know, they hang out, they do stuff, they do fun stuff too, you know? And so I want you to, you know, if you see someone up here that's really good looking, come up and talk to them after, okay? Okay, just come and talk to them. Say hi to them. Is that cool? So these are your life group leaders. Yep, Steph over there. Yes. Okay, is that cool? Can we give our life group leaders a hand? So life groups are an integral part of Every Nation Logan. And this is where we can connect, not only as a church, but this is an environment where we can invite other people to. Because in all honesty, some people find it a bit intimidating coming to a church. Even though it's a community hall, if they had a dance here, they'll be here, right? But, you know, this is church, you know, and that's just the way that people see it. But, you know, I want to encourage you, you know, if you go and talk to one of those people. Is that cool? Yeah. Okay, so tell your story. A couple of years ago, my son wanted to play soccer for a club. And it was going to be the first time that he was going to play for a club. And so he was nervous about, you know, meeting new people and, you know, being in a new environment. And so when our first training, I remember our first training. Don't tell him this, okay? But the first training, we pulled up and we got out of the car and my son, he came in running into me. Daddy, I don't want to go. This is my 9-year-old son. And my heart was like, oh, son, come on. We already paid the bills. Get out there and play. Nah, but, you know, I was like, oh, son, it's all right. Come on, you're going to meet people. You're going to meet people and, you know, say hi to people, you know. You're going to be all right. And so I had to drag him over there. You know, come on, son, come on. And I took him over and the coach and, you know, met the coach. And then I went into, you know, I just went, found my seat, you know, like a lot of the parents do, find a seat, and then I'm on my phone the whole time. But it was a bit, you know, a bit chilly that day, so I went to my car and played on my phone in the car. But that was my level of involvement. That was my level of engagement that I chose, was to be on my phone. I drop you off there, son. Yeah, bye. And then, yeah. About a few games into the season, I get this email from the coach, and he's writing to all the parents of the boys about the current team manager and about how she couldn't do the role anymore because of work commitments. And so he was emailing us to find out, oh, is there anyone else that would be willing to step in to fill the position of this? And then when I saw the email, I was like, I read it, and then I thought, yeah, nah, someone will do it. I'm sure someone will do it, right? But as the day went on, I started to think about it, like you do when you see those sort of emails. And then I was looking at it, I was thinking about it. I was like, oh, I wonder what it would look like if I actually was the manager. I could spend more time with my son. It's a great way to connect with other people. Hey, it's an opportunity also to shine Jesus in there as well. So 2 days later, I thought, okay, I will respond. But I want to put a clause in there, an escape plan for me, that I will only do it if no one else had already put up their hand for it. That was like my get out of jail card. And so I was feeling really good about my email. In my head, I was feeling really good about it. I was like, yeah, someone's going to volunteer. I'm just trying to be the nice guy, you know, the nice parent, acknowledging his email. This is what I'm doing. Honestly, 1 minute after hitting the send button, I get a response back saying, thank you so much, Henry, for accepting the role. Parents, I want to introduce you to Henry, the father of Ezekiel, who has kindly accepted the role of the new team manager. Please help me in welcoming Henry. And I was like, no, it wasn't supposed to end like this. What does your level of involvement and engagement in our community look like? What does it look like for you? Opportunities are all around us. Opportunities are all around us to be connected and engaged in our community. I've just named a couple with the people that are here with this facility that we're meeting in. But if you're sitting there and you're thinking, oh, I know a way I can connect with the community as well, man, go for it. Connect with them. Meet with them. So I want to encourage you with two things, okay, to help us see and do. Everyone say, see and do. What God is calling you to in our community of Logan, okay? So, number one, be aware and engaged in our community. Be aware and engaged in our community. You know, I look at the story of the woman at the well, and when I read the part of Jesus resting at that particular place in Sychar where he would encounter the Samaritan woman, I think, yeah, he may have been tired, but I think he was positioning himself for what God was wanting to do in the heart of this woman. And we need to see our own situations, our own individual situations like that. That it's strategically, we're being planted, we're being placed in the different parts of our community, in our workplaces, in our schools, wherever God places our feet, that's where God is calling you to be, that that socially responsible solution in that environment, in that place, right? Right? Yeah. It wasn't just about the water. It wasn't just about the living water. It wasn't just about her wanting the living water. Give me that water. Give me that living water. It wasn't just about her husband. It wasn't about her supposed five husbands that she had had. It was all about the condition of her heart. Jesus is all about the condition of our hearts. I believe that this will be the journey that a lot of us in here will need to walk through with people that are hurting right here in our community. Let me say that again. I believe that a lot of us in here, sitting here right now, will be walking through with a lot of people, walking through with a lot of people that are going through these same situations. I think some of you might be going, right, Henry, you don't know my life. I'm going through that stuff right now. And that's cool. If you're going through that stuff now, I encourage you, you're around good people. This is a good place to be at. And we want to walk with you through that. But if someone comes along and they want to go along that journey with you, then say, yeah, I don't know the full way, but I know the sort of the direction. Come along, I'll help you. This is what I've learned along the way. Let's go. Jesus is after our hearts. And it may scare you a bit what I just said about you walking alongside people. But how many of us can just sit down and have dinner with someone? All honesty, how many of us can just sit down and have a coffee with someone? That's the greatest place to sit down and begin that journey. Right there. We don't have to make it too hard. It's not too hard. Jesus was able to do this in one sitting. right? And by the grace of God, we can too. But for those other moments, for those other situations, when it may not be as quick or it may not be as simple, we all need a long game. Everyone say, we need a long game. You know what a long game is? A long game is it means that we need to have patience. In our long game, we're going to need time. In our long game, we're going to need resources. In a long game, we're going to need, there's going to be inconvenience in the long game. So we've got to be prepared for that. We've got to be prepared for that. So if you want to be aware and engaged in our community, we need to be ready with a long game as well, right? Everyone say, I want to be ready with a long game. Okay, excellent. I'm going to come and talk to you about that after. Number two, be up close and personal in our community. Be up close and personal in our community. You know, Jesus wasn't messaging her on Instagram. Jesus was not sending her a text message from the other side of Australia. He was right there in front of her. It was happening face to face. He was right there. We're going to have to do that same thing. Right in front of them, face to face, personal. This is where the real relationships get shaped and molded. When we walk through life together, up close and personal, seeing the rawness of how we really are, warts and all. Where we do make mistakes, right? And we can sometimes say some silly things where we can be vulnerable. And these are the very moments where we as a church can step in and by the leading of the Holy Spirit, bring about a discipleship moment. Bring about a moment of bringing the gospel right there and then. Maybe in that point of moment, forgiveness is needed. Maybe in that point of moment, prayer is needed. Maybe in that point of moment, it may be a different perspective that is needed. Or maybe there may be a new attitude that needs to be brought to light. But it is through these moments of doing life together that people's personal walls, because we all have walls, we all have barriers, everyone puts them up, right? But when we walk through life with them, slowly but surely those walls will come down to the point where we'll be able to talk to them face to face. You know, there's also a danger side to this as well. When we get religious about engaging our community, you know, religion can speak something like this. Oh, that's just the way that they've always been. We can't do anything about it. They don't want to change. If we have never stepped into their house or we've never walked in their shoes, then this is the dangerous response of a religious mindset. Religion loves from a distance, but relationship loves in close proximity. Do you get that? Religion loves from a distance, but relationship loves in close proximity. So let's all take a fresh look at social responsibility and see how it plays out in our own lives, in our own personal lives. Are we aware? Are we aware and engaged in our community? Are we up close and personal in our community? And I'm not saying that we all have to be up here on this platform right here. This isn't where it all happens. It happens right there. It happens in our malls, in our shopping centers, out in the sports fields, in the schools, in the workplaces. That's where it happens. How will you use your platform? Where your feet go? Where God places you? Strategically, in your workplace, in your school. I'm sure that we can all speak to one person, just one person at least, and build with them relationally. Because that's all it takes. That's all it takes. Give me that living water. Give them that living water.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.